First Bank of Wyoming Sports Friday, live on the SBI Radio Network. Turn your building dreams into reality. Find construction loan information online at gofirstbank.com. That is gofirstbank.com, division of Glacier Bank. Branches in Alpine, Afton, Kemmer, and Mountain View. Duke and Dow with you live in studio this morning. And now joining us over the phone today from 7220sports.com, that's Cody Tucker. Cody, good morning. How are you today?
Awesome, gentlemen. How are we doing?
Doing great. Thank you for taking a few minutes with us today. And Cody, I want to kind of start off, but before we get into basketball, which there's plenty to talk about, kind of wanted to put a bow on the whole transfer portal season. If people aren't or haven't, I really encourage you to check out Cody's podcast called The Roaring Repeater. Some really good stuff in there. But Cody, kind of recap for us how the portal works, because it's kind of changed a little bit in terms of when people can move. But kind of recap that for us and some of the key points of who came and went for the Wyoming Cowboys. Excuse me.
Yeah, you know, I'll tell you guys once again, it always amazes me every year after the season ends and the portal opens and, you know, the first guy enters and, you know, half the fan base jumps off a bridge immediately. And, you know, the knee-jerk reaction stuff is incredible to me. You know, you look at it on its face, and Wyoming lost, I'm using air quotes here, guys, they lost 14 guys to the transfer portal. And, you know, fans are freaking out. Fans thinking, oh, my God, what is going on? On its face, 14 looks like a lot. It's not at all. And if you want to break it down, it's the Cowboys basically lost four starters to the portal. And in this day and age, as you guys know, that's not a lot. So I really feel like they made out like a bandit. Plus, you know, you hear stuff through sources and stuff at the university. A lot of these guys, you know, some of them were asked to leave. Some surprising names where you go, man, I can't believe they lost that guy. Well, he was asked to leave. And now with the new mandate on 105 guys per roster, there's going to be a lot more cuts, guys. And that's the thing. That's where I feel like that's one thing that's been really lost in this whole transfer portal thing since it's become a thing, is that coaches have cut players since the beginning of time. You just didn't hear about it. Now they have another avenue where they can say, hey, I've decided to enter the transfer portal, instead of saying, hey, I got cut. And a lot of guys are, and a lot of guys still are on the chopping block. For instance, Wyoming entered last fall with 118 players on their roster. Across the board, that number has to be at 105. And by the time the dust settles after February's signing day, traditional signing day, they're going to have signed about 42 guys this offseason. So I'm definitely not a math major, but they're going to have to get rid of quite a few guys. So this is a really, really big spring ahead, which I'm going to compare to an NFL training camp. It's will you make the 105-man roster or will you not? And those who don't are going to find themselves in the transfer portal for the late window this spring. So, you know, back to your question, though, I think, you know, Wyoming lost some names that you can look at. Tyler King, TK King, he's a guy who was all Mountain West, first-team guy as a kick returner, dynamic kid. Justin Stevenson, sophomore wide receiver, he was a loss for sure. I think he's the main one you circle and go, didn't want to lose him. But other than that, man, you're talking about Braden Siders, a guy who he's had his moments, but he's really been beat up the last couple of years. And Ethan Day, a junior defensive end who might add some promise as well. But, I mean, you're talking about potential here. You're not talking about guys that you lost and you go, oh, my God, Wyoming's in trouble. They kept everybody they needed to keep, guys. I mean, from John Michael Gillenborg to Harrison Whaley to Caden Anderson to Chris Durr Jr. to the entire offensive line. We knew the defense would be a rebuild because of how many seniors were over there, but they kept everybody they wanted to keep on this offense, except for, I would arguably say, Justin Stevenson, who's now at Utah.
You know, just to reiterate that point, Cody, I think the transfer portal is college football now, and right, like it or hate it, it's not going away. And so losing kids in the transfer portal does not signal trouble. I mean, that's just how it is now, right? And so when you look at that, of course, it giveth as well as taketh away. So you got to look at the flip side. Who have the Cowboys picked up this year in the transfer portal that's going to help the program?
Yeah, you know, guys, I'm starting to really embrace the transfer portal personally, and not that anybody's asking my opinion, but starting to embrace it in football. Because think about, you know, Dal would know early in the early 2000s when Vic Koning was in Laramie, it was like, well, we're rolling with these same cats. We better hope they improve over the offseason. Or, didn't. You know, they might have picked up a couple JUCO guys, or maybe a freshman or two can come in and make an impact. Other than that, I mean, we're looking at a big rebuild here. Jay Sauvel's coming off a 3-9 year. He wasn't happy with a lot of aspects of his team, and he's changing that. We saw they didn't have a lot of depth at positions, and they really got North Texas comes to mind. The secondary was bare bones, and North Texas took full advantage. So, to me, now you can have quick fixes. Where I hate the transfer portal, though, fellas, is on the basketball side of things, because NIL is so much bigger in that realm, and, you know, it's only 15 guys, and the way Wyoming has turned over their roster left and right has just been unbelievable and maddening. But back to your first question here, something Jay Sauvel said this offseason that really stood out to me, fellas, was he talked about before that first game against Arizona State. He talked to Kenny Dillingham, and he was like, man, you got like 40, 50 new guys on your team. Like, how did you do this? How are you going to navigate this, you know, the whole nine? And Kenny Dillingham, which we found out Arizona State was pretty darn good, and they had a pretty darn good season, he said, you want guys who want to be here. And I know that doesn't sound like breaking news by any means, but it's pretty hard to not go after that shiny FBS Power 4 guy who's looking for a gig and instead go get a JUCO guy or go get an FCS guy. And that's what Kenny Dillingham told Jay Sauvel, and that's what Jay Sauvel has done this offseason. You wouldn't recognize one name of the 16 guys he's brought in, 10 of which are on the defensive side of the ball, but he basically laid down the criteria that this guy better love and breathe football. If he doesn't, he's gone, or he's not ever coming here. And Jay also came up with a new leadership council of guys who stuck around and leaders on this team. And he said, I want you guys to show these guys around when they're here on their visits, and I want you to report back to me. Do they live and breathe football? If they don't, they're not coming.
I just wanted to ask one more real quick question on football, because you touched on this again on your podcast. Jay Sauvel, obviously, he had a lot of time before he actually got his first head coaching gig. Things obviously didn't go the way he wanted in the first year, and Wyoming fans all agree that they weren't what we hoped for. But you touched on this. The guys did not give up. They like Jay Sauvel, and they want to play for him, and that was evident down the stretch.
Yeah, I mean, to me, you want to talk about jumping off a bridge, it was after the Colorado State game last year. That looked like an unmotivated team. It looked like, oh, my God, they might have waved the white flag here. They didn't. They came out. They gave Boise State all they could handle, and I think we could argue all day that if Caden Anderson doesn't get hurt in that game, maybe they spoil Boise State's entire season. So, and then the way they showed up, even though they showed up and played so hard against Boise, I remember thinking to myself, they just left it all out on the field. Now they're going to go to Pullman, and they're going to get absolutely murdered by Washington State. This is going to be ugly. This is going to be like Fresno State a couple years ago when Bowles' team went in and got 30 blasted and just looked miserable. And they didn't, man. They come in with Evan Svoboda as the starter, with Caden Anderson still out, and they showed me all I needed to see, to be quite honest with you. They went into a place where they don't win traditionally in the few times they've been there against a quarterback who, you know, was leading the world in scoring this year, who really should have been on a lot of Heisman ballots. And they found a way to squeak out a win at Washington State, and that they didn't need to do that. It was cold. There was 10,000 people in the crowd. It would have been easy to mail it in, and they just didn't mail it in at all, and they played really hard. And that shows me all I need to know about the character of this team and the way they feel about their coaching staff.
Cody Tucker, 7220sports.com on First Bank of Wyoming Sports Friday this morning. Cody, let's switch over to men's basketball. Inaugural season for Coach Sundance Wicks. And, boy, you want to talk about up and down on the season. I mean, you go back a couple weeks to the loss at Boise State. And, I mean, that's about as low as you can get in basketball. And then it gets lower when you lose at home in the Border War. But then, I mean, you go down to Vegas and you beat UNLV on the road. And so still trying to figure out who this Cowboys team is.
Yeah, and it really started in the second half against New Mexico. They had a 14-point lead at the break, and New Mexico comes out on a 17-1 run, and really it was ugly the next two and a half games. So Boise State was unbelievable. You thought, oh, my God, you know, this gap is still so incredibly wide here. And then they, you know, really were a no-show at home against Colorado State. And that's when I think Sonny did some had his guys doing some soul searching here, and I think we saw that at UNLV, a place they haven't won since 2003, which is still unbelievable to wrap your mind around. They came out and, you know, kind of like what we were just talking about with football, the guys who want to play and the guys who are going to play the right way and the guys who are going to do what their role dictates are going to play. And not to point these guys out, but hey, we're about to talk to Sonny here in about 20 minutes anyway, but Tuco Tynamo didn't leave the bench. Scotty Abube didn't leave the bench. A.J. Wills played 1 minute. Jordan Nesbitt didn't play the first 5 minutes of this game. He's a consistent starter for this team. I think there was a message since, and to me, the guys got it loud and clear. Obi Agbum is your scorer. Dante Allen's going to help you out a little bit as far as that goes. So is Kobe Newton. But you other guys need to facilitate, make the extra pass, rebound, and sit down on the defensive side of the ball, which is something they haven't done. And man, they did it all in spades against UNLV, and it was really good to see, because that is the team – that's what it's going to take to win in this league. And, you know, hitting 14 threes definitely helped. And we still saw some warts down the stretch there in the last minute where they an 11-point lead turned into a 2-point lead way too quick. But, you know, really good road win for those guys. And now you got San Jose State tomorrow on the road, and you got Fresno State coming into Laramie. Those are two teams that are, quote-unquote, in your tax bracket. Cowboys could find themselves on a 3-game winning streak here.
And that was something that Coach Wicks talked about. He broke the last 15 games of the season. He was breaking them up into five-game segments and saying, we need to go at least 3-2 in each of these segments. And then the Cowboys had kind of that rough start, but then they pick up this win. And then, yeah, not to look ahead, but you've got two very winnable games coming up to maybe get some things rolling. Your thoughts on this road game? It has trap game written all over it after the effort at UNLV.
Yeah, it sure does. But, I mean, who would have thought Wyoming would be a trap game for UNLV, who just knocked off number 22 Utah State and then went in and won at San Diego State? They were the hottest team going in the Mountain West. And I got to admit, fellas, going into that game in Vegas the other night, not only has that been a house of horrors, you're thinking, oh, my God, this could get really ugly. And it didn't, to their credit, man. They played really well. But, yeah, it does have trap game. I mean, San Jose State beat New Mexico, and New Mexico's the best team arguably in this conference. But I'd imagine, guys, and I'll talk to Sonny about this here in a minute, but it's got to be hard to go into a place like San Jose State. First of all, they're not a pushover. They have some good players. Tim Miles is a hell of a coach, but you're playing in front of five people, and that's just got to be tough. I have never covered a game, a basketball game at San Jose State, from what I understand, like, clearly you can see nobody's there, but also it's like in such a community gym type of situation that you can see like old ladies working out on workout machines through the window that are looking into the arena. I mean, I guess it's the real deal bad. So it's probably hard to bring your own juice, as Sonny would say, but it is a trap type situation. And, you know, winning on the road, let's not ever take that for granted. I mean, Cowboys just won their second game on the road this year, or their third game on the road this year. It is not easy for this program, and it hasn't been for a long time.
Well, Cody, as always, certainly appreciate your time. Just one last question with Coach Sundance Wicks. Of course, he's trying to build this culture and this specific atmosphere that I think Wyoming fans are going to really go to. How do you think that process has been so far through this part of the season, up to this point anyway? And do you think it's heading in the right direction?
I do. If you guys, if your listeners haven't seen it, there's a, and of course, Dal might know the name, but there was a little series that Sundance shot, a video series at the beginning of the year, and it kind of tells you everything you need to know. He's, you know, the guys leave a mess in the locker room. They're going to touch every step running in the AA and things of that nature. And it's got to be kind of hard, to be honest with you, because you have guys that can leave and you have guys that will leave. so you'd imagine, you know, the Bobby Knights and the Tom Izzos of the world and Jim Boeheims of the world, that's going to be a dying thing. He's still holding their feet to the fire and saying, you know what, you want to leave? I don't want guys like you anyway. So far, so good. But, you know, it's so hard to say because you have so many one and dones again, so many guys that only have 1 year of eligibility left. And, you know, it's hard to build, and basketball is going to be a big, big challenge because NIL is so important, and it's so hard to get to Laramie for so many people in this state in the winter. And if you're not winning, they're really not going to come. So it's just, it's a chicken and egg type situation. And, you know, what I will say is Sonny's the guy for the job. He's local. He cares. His enthusiasm is infectious. And if anybody can do it, it's him. Jeff Linder wasn't. This was not the job for Jeff Linder anymore. And I have no problem saying that. But Sonny is Sonny looks up to Jeff Linder as far as a basketball mind. But Sonny's got the rest of it, got him whipped. And he'll be the guy who will get some excitement going. So it's going to be tough, though. It's really going to be tough. And to be honest, I don't know how Utah State keeps doing it. I feel like it's about to strike midnight in Logan one of these years, right?
It's got to, right? That's Cody Tucker, 7220sports.com. Cody, as always, thank you so much.